Welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Ryan Herpin, and today I'm diving into a business category that has grown fast and attracted serious investor attention, and well, created a whole new conversation around land use, guest experience, and operational efficiency, and that is outdoor hospitality. Joining me today is Ed Bridgman, one of the most recognized consultants in this space through EOB Consulting. He helps owners, developers, and investors maximize the value of outdoor hospitality assets by applying Lean Six Sigma principles to RV destinations, glamping properties, marinas, and boat and RV storage facilities. His work combines feasibility analysis and site layout, along with construction, process management, and long-term profitability strategy. This is a whole different way of handling the outdoor hospitality world. And according to EOB Consulting, the firm's service center is really on RV park design, feasibility analysis, consulting, and construction management for startup and expansion projects. So what makes this conversation especially compelling is that Ed brings deep operational discipline to a category many people still truly underestimate. I have been in consulting for quite some time. I've ran many businesses, and this is one area that I have yet to truly dive in and even consider looking at as far as an operational and business process. But his background includes an MBA, project management, professional certification, and long-standing Six Sigma expertise. His published biography also describes him as focused on maximizing asset value while reducing operational costs, improving quality, and exceeding customer expectations. Now, to me, that is a recipe for great success and true development as a business, property, value, whatever that may be. But in this first segment, I want to frame outdoor hospitality as a serious business model, not just a lifestyle category. And I'll explore how investors and operators can stop looking at land as a passive holding and start viewing it as a performance asset that has to be, intentionally designed, operated, and, monetized. This sets up the rest of the episode by, establishing that profitability in this sector does not happen by accident. It comes from strategy, flow, customer experience, cost control, and smart development choices from day one. And this ties into a lot of the conversations we have on the show with a lot of different people. There are recipes for success, no matter the business, no matter the industry. And diving in with Ed today is going to be very, very powerful. So thanks for being here today on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my honor.
You know, first time I met you and we got to talking about what it is you do, I was blown away with the reputation you've built in this industry, because I never would have thought just how big the industry really is. And just how, I'll be honest, I started looking at property values. I looked at, the business model. I dug into a few people I know that have been involved in some of this. And I was like, oh my goodness, the revenue that can be generated from the proper utilization of property is absurd.
Yeah, it's huge.
As we dive into this, I'm excited. You know, with Biz Talk being what it is, I like to dive into some of the bigger questions that can provide value to our audience. But when I look at an outdoor hospitality property, what separates a passive asset from a true high-performing business?
So are you looking at a property that's already existing as an outdoor hospitality, or are you looking at a potential raw land that could be developed into an RV destination?
Let's look at both. Let's start with, okay. Let's go from the beginning of, okay, this property has potential, but what does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, for free, people can call me and I'll spend 30 minutes to an hour talking to them over a Zoom call, and we'll look at each property that they're considering. This is a very valuable asset in order to reduce their upfront risk. Hey, Mr. Bridgman, I'm looking at this property and what do you think from a 3,000 foot high level? And I'll spend time with them going over, asking the basic questions and finding out if this is a good property or not. One of the first things we're going to ask is, obviously, can you build on it? Do you have the right permits to be able, is the governing official going to allow you to build what you want to build? So that's one of the first things you have to do, but that's usually not a deal breaker. Even if it is not zoned correctly, you can have it rezoned. Now, I can help with that because most of the time the government is going to require you to provide them with a CAD design of what it is you're trying to do. So you can bring me on early there. One of the next things we're going to ask, the biggest barrier to development is the sewer.
Ooh.
If you have to use septic and then you have to have leach fields and yep. you're giving up real estate that you cannot build a permanent structure on top of. So yeah, you can make it a dog park or something like that, but who needs a 3-acre dog park?
So, good point.
So we got to get through making certain that the government's going to allow us to do what we want to do and then make certain we understand the sewer issue. And then there's 11 states in the Midwest that are federally mandated to use less water than they have been in the past.
That makes an impact.
So if you're not going to be allowed to put a well down, or if you're not going to be allowed to access to water, then that's a deal breaker. But if you can get past those three things, then the next thing we're going to look at is how are people going to get there? People who are driving $100,000 RVs, 107 is the average now, to $1 million RVs, they don't want to go through a cow pasture to get to your property. Yeah. So they need asphalt roads would be great.
Yes.
And then the next thing, we define which one of the five different RV destination types is the best fit for that property. Mm. And that's all what we talk about in the first 30 minutes to an hour.
Okay. Okay, and I'm glad you pointed out the sewer aspect of it, because that is a big deal. That makes a world of difference, because like you said, it takes up real estate. It takes up property that you could be utilizing for that, you know, outdoor hospitality space. But if it's done incorrectly, now you're losing potential to gain revenue as well as, well, you're adding an additional expense consistently as
Absolutely.
Things move on. And that's risk. I see that as risk.
Absolutely.
So, you know, why do so many owners misjudge what it takes to turn raw land into a profitable RV, glamping, or, you know, marina destination?
Well, most people haven't done it before.
It's the unfamiliar territory, the unknown, right?
Well, I would say, and if you take the average 100 people and you look for a percentage of people who have turned 20 acres into a commercial business, the percentage is going to be pretty small, okay? So, and then the people who have done it, very few of them are going to do it again, okay? So you need an expert. You need someone who has done this a lot. EOB Consulting is the largest consultant in the United States. I design more outdoor hospitality destinations in a year than my next two largest consultants combined. So I see what's going on in the industry. I'm out there, and I'm the only consultant that actually owns my own homestead RV community. I actually own. So I deal with the day-to-day, the functionality, in a way that nobody else does. So you need to talk to somebody who has been there and has done it themselves.
Has the experience, you know, actually tackling those challenges. You're not just somebody who consults for the industry, you participate in the industry. And you are also staked in how successful this really is.
I not only advise my clients how to spend their money, I show them how I spent my money.
And that brings a whole different level of credibility and authority to what you do and when helping those individuals. You know, and when I look at this, now, there is a question that I do have in mind that, you know, really can make or break somebody's ability to do this. But, you know, what do you evaluate first when you want to understand whether an asset is really positioned for long-term value? Is it location? Is it, you know, what does that look like?
So,
what does that mean?
So, at the bottom line, this is a real estate transaction with a hospitality overbite, okay? So, in real estate, the three main things are location, location, location. Mm-hmm. So you can have this beautiful, gorgeous property with these wonderful views. So I recently did one in Utah at 7,500 feet above sea level.
Wow.
Okay. Beautiful views, 620 acres. This guy's got all the room he needs. Okay. But how are you going to get an RV up there?
Exactly. That's a lot of elevation.
Fortunately, he thought outside the box, and he's putting glamping units up there, and he's bringing his guest up by helicopter.
And that is a creative twist that not only creates a solution for the problem at hand, but it makes it unique.
It's totally a unique experience. And he is going to kill it.
I mean, that's how you stand out in the market.
Oh.
You take a weakness and turn it into an advantage.
It's an opportunity.
Yes.
It's not a weakness. It's an opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. And he looked outside the box and he said, I'm going to cater to people who want a different experience. And he's going to make a lot of money.
I'm glad that you added that perspective, because you also highlight the fact that, you know, there's room to grow it, but location is so vital, right? You know, you might have some good property, good land, you know, great views, but if you're not in a place where, number one, people want to be, they're not going to be there. Just because you exist doesn't mean people are going to come. You know, they say if you build it, they will come. Not always the case, right? Especially with something like this. You know, people want to be around things that are relevant or somewhere that is scenic, maybe detached from the world. There's different tastes.
But. As I mentioned, there are 5 different RV destination types. Campgrounds, they want to be near some other activity, Mount Rushmore, Disney World, something like that. Yeah. If you can figure out where the next data center is going, Walmart warehouse is going, then you can build a campground right outside the gate, and you don't have to build any amenities. You can cut your construction costs way down, and the people will come all year round to support that other amenity. But if you want a resort, you don't need to be near anything. You know, within 100 miles of any municipality, you can have a resort.
Yep.
But you have to provide the reason why people are coming there.
It boils down to amenities and just, I mean, I like the way you position that too, because you can cut down on a lot of those additional costs and without sacrificing people's experience. So, you know, coming up next, I'm getting into the operational side of the business and how Lean Six Sigma can transform profitability in hospitality without hurting the guest experience. Welcome back to Biz Talk. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? You can catch the podcast version right at www.nowmedia.tv. So as we come back to Biz Talk, I am still here with Ed Bridgman, and now I want to go deeper into the operating side of the business. In almost every industry, margin gets lost in places people don't notice at first. You know, broken processes, inconsistent standards, unnecessary costs, and systems that create friction for both the staff and the customer. This is where Ed, well, he gets to bring a very different lens to this topic. And in his published background, you know, it really connects his outdoor hospitality work directly to Lean Six Sigma, cost reduction, quality improvement, and customer expectation management. Well, his biography also notes that he has spent decades helping businesses reduce operating costs and increase profit margins while improving customer outcomes. You know, and in this segment, I do want to break this down in a way where we can really highlight how Lean Six Sigma makes a difference and really how that can be applied to this industry. But before we dive into that, I want to go back to something you mentioned. There's 5 different types of RV destinations. And I think for us to truly understand how the profitability is impacted through Lean Six Sigma, I want to understand these 5 different destinations. Can you elaborate on that for me?
Absolutely, and thank you for asking. Believe it or not, there are so many people in this industry who still don't understand that there are 5 distinct and specific and unique industry types. So the outdoor hospitality industry has been around for over 100 years. Airstream celebrated 100 years in business in 2019. They've been selling outdoor RV trailers to be pulled behind Model A's for over 100 years, okay? So what was happening was people were traveling from point A to point B, and they couldn't get there in one stretch. They had to stop someplace along the highway to eat and go to the bathroom and sleep from dusk until dawn. They needed a place to just pull over. So right along the highway, we developed parks. They've been around for over 100 years. All right. And parks are the only segment of this entire industry that are currently losing money. All right. That's important to know. You do not want to develop a park. But these people were traveling across country to go see Mount Rushmore or the Grand Canyon or something like that. And when they arrived at their destination, they camped. They camped in a campground right outside the gates of Disney World or right outside Mount Rushmore that I've already mentioned. So they're there in the evenings to eat a hamburger and go to sleep. They get up the next morning and they go tour the local area. That's what they're interested in. Campgrounds have been around for 100 years. But in 2017, the average RV was selling for $107,000. And people look outside their kitchen window and they say, I need to use this thing more than just 2 weeks out of the year. This is a major investment.
Yeah, a big investment.
Okay? So I want to use it like every 6 weeks. I want to take off work on Friday afternoon a little early, have the camper already loaded, and go to my destination and have the hamburgers on the grill before dark. Mm. And then I want to wake up Saturday and I want to be entertained.
Yep.
Question mark. I don't know how. And then Sunday, I want to break down camp and be home, put the camper away, and mm-hmm. be ready to go to bed so I can go to work Monday morning.
Yeah.
So resorts popped up. 20 yeah. years ago, we started building resorts. Within 100 miles of any municipality, say between Dallas and Waco, there's a 200-mile stretch. So right in the middle, we build a bunch of resorts, okay? And we're bringing people from Waco or Dallas or Fort Worth, and they're going there and because they can get there in a couple hours Friday mm-hmm. evening. But they wake up Saturday morning, you've got to give them something to do,
yep.
okay? So you've got to have an adult pool, a children's pool, a bouncing pillow, pickleball courts, an entertainment area, arcade. You've got to have something for them to do. The resort has more amenities because
yeah.
these people are taking a mini vacation.
Yeah.
And they want to be treated like they're on vacation. Parks, you might not even see the person. They
yep.
come in at dusk, they leave at daylight.
It's just that in-between for a different place.
Yeah.
Like a motel, but, you know, a little different.
Very different experience, okay? So now we've created resorts. Well, then people started living in their RVs longer.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taking a two-week vacation, now we have people from up north that are avoiding the harsh winter conditions, and they come down south for 6 months, okay?
Yep.
And then we have millennials who are finding it difficult to go into the average price of a brick-and-mortar home in 2024 was $571,000,
yep.
okay? And interest rates were through the roof. If you can qualify for a car loan, you can qualify for an RV loan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can get into an RV for an average of $107,000. So it was easier for millennials to buy an RV, live in it 6 months out of the year at this location, and then go to another location. Live there for 6 months. They're working remotely. The main thing they needed was high-speed internet so they could do
yep.
Zoom calls and talk to their boss over the phone, but also so that they could play games and download
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, you still have to have the entertainment
side of
life,
some entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So the high-speed internet has been extremely important since COVID, especially.
Yeah.
So our guests have changed drastically since COVID. So that created communities. People now want a community style
yep.
environment.
That long term.
So, more long term. The school. For the first time, your RV owner is interested in the school district.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be honest, this type of lifestyle actually kind of intrigues me and my wife quite a bit.
It's
now, we've got two kids and they're small. It's like, well, maybe not right now, but
well,
I can definitely see it in the future for sure.
It's very possible. Very, very, very possible. So that's the four types. Now, what's the fifth one is a hybrid. Something that it was built to be a park. So we are all familiar with this. As you drive up and down the interstate back and forth to work, you look over and that park has been there. The median age of an RV destination in the United States is 40 years old, okay?
Mm.
77% of all RV destinations in the United States are older than 20, okay?
Goodness.
And the majority of them are parks.
Yep.
That's the reason why we call them parks, okay?
Yep.
So they're along the highway and you're driving to work and you look over at that same place and you see the same RV has been there for years. They've got a wooden deck. The tires are flat.
Yep.
Okay? They couldn't move it if they wanted to. They've got trees growing around it and shrubbery and stuff like that. That is no longer a park. That's a community.
Yep.
Okay? That person's living there full-time resident. Okay? So now you have hybrids that are filling two different purposes. But what I want to emphasize is that your location determines your RV destination type. Your RV destination type determines the amenities that you're going to have to provide. The amenities that you have to provide determine the construction cost that you're going to have to build. And then if you get the right construction cost, so you built the right type of outdoor hospitality destination, and you charge the right amount, that's how you maximize your profitability.
And that's where we tie into the Lean Six Sigma, because with all these different type of, you know, RV destinations, right? Parks, we don't even got to look at that, because it's just such a quick stay-go type thing. It's been around forever. You know, we know what those are, but where does Lean Six Sigma fit in? Now, I know we don't have a ton of time left in the segment, but where does that tie in? Because each one of these destinations is different. When you've got the hybrid versus the long-term, what does that look like on the property owner? And the person who's running this, how does Lean Six Sigma really tie in? I know how it does manufacturing, plenty of other businesses, but
it's the same thing. Yeah. Lean Six Sigma is all about reducing your process steps, reducing waste, increasing your profitability while you're exceeding your customers' expectations. So if you have a customer that is paying for a resort, they have much different expectations. They need to be entertained, and they need the kids to be entertained, and the kids decide if we're coming back or not. Okay, it's either the wife and the kids that decides if we're going to come back or not. Okay, so you got to take care of those kids. In a park, who cares if they have kids? You don't need to do anything for the kids.
It's a stop, eat, sleep, go.
Yeah, and we don't need as many parks as we used to, because it's more comfortable to drive 500 miles. And when you had a Model A, a couple hundred miles, that was all you were going to go. Okay, but so parks are going down in the demand, but the demand for RV sites is increasing nationwide. So as it ties into Lean Six Sigma, is reducing steps. At Homestead RV Community, I have 20 acres. We have 59 sites. We have 11 bathrooms we keep clean. We have five jacuzzis that we deliver to every site. We have a virtual store. There's nobody sitting in the store.
That's different.
Folding t-shirts. We don't do that, okay? We have a virtual office. Nobody stops at the office when they drive in and checks in or checks out. Nobody does that, okay?
You utilize the technology that we have available.
Absolutely. The majority of our people make their reservation online. We never talk to them. And what's interesting is 60% of those people do it between midnight and 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't answer the phone at that time anyway.
Exactly. Okay? That's a whole lot of business you'd be missing out on if you didn't utilize it.
So people go online, they make their reservation, they check themselves in, we meet them at the gate, we escort them to their site. So there would be those people who would argue, and they would say, we are less personable. We have less one-on-one face-to-face time. And I would argue, and I would say, no, because of all the virtual systems that we put in place, I have one employee. That's it. One to manage everything, clean everything, keep the laundry room clean, keep everything going, and handle all of this. And we spend more time escorting people and getting to know our guests than anybody else. Go look at our Google reviews, 470 some Google reviews, 4.8 Google review rating. People love us.
You're setting a whole different standard in this industry.
Absolutely.
From my experience, what you're explaining is almost like a dream compared to some of the experiences I've had, you know, growing up and traveling with friends, family, stuff like that. But, you know, this is incredible things to be bringing up and things to make really relevant for those that are already in this industry. But, you know, up next, I'm shifting from operations to design, because the smartest destinations are not just well-run, they're really well planned from the start.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I've talked about asset performance and operational discipline, but now I want to focus on design. In outdoor hospitality, design is not just about aesthetics. It shapes traffic flow, guest comfort, maintenance efficiency, expansion potential, and revenue opportunities. Now, we are still here with Ed, and he's been giving exceptional information around this industry and how his business really makes a difference. But what stands out in Ed's approach is how closely he ties design to financial logic. EOB Consulting says its work includes identifying the right RV destination type, producing fantastic site layouts with PDF and CAD formats, estimating construction cost, you know, projecting revenue streams and operating costs all the same, and building out 10-year cash flow expectations through, well, feasibility analysis. So in this segment, I want to try to connect guest experience to investor confidence. I want the audience to understand that bad design creates friction everywhere, at arrival, at circulation points, in maintenance, in amenity use, and in how people's experience really impacts the brand. So great design, on the other hand, can improve satisfaction, reduce inefficiency, and support a stronger long-term return. The whole point of this is good investment, good ROI. Well, if you don't have this set up correctly, that just isn't possible. So Ed, thank you for being here on the show. Your expertise in this field has been enlightening, to say the least.
Well, thank you.
Now, that last segment, we covered the five destinations, and I was eating that up. I'm digging into that because it makes sense. And I've experienced a lot of those other things and witnessed it. And when you talked about the RV, it's got flat tires and trees growing on it. We've all seen that, right?
Absolutely.
We've all seen that. But, you know, diving into this, I want to go in kind of hard in this topic because it is a relevant one. You know, when I'm, you know, thinking about different spaces and outdoor amenities in these types of places where I want to take my family to, whether it's stopping in, but these hospitality destinations, you know, where should I begin, right? Well, what should I begin to look at first? Is it guest experience, operational flow? Like, you know, what does this look like as an investor? If I'm wanting to invest in something like this, where should the main focus be?
Well, we could do an entire episode just on this one segment.
Yeah. I know it's a loaded question.
I could talk about this for a long time, so I'm going to try to hit some of the highlights. First of all, you only get one chance at a first impression, and people think that first impression is when they drive in the gate, and that's the sixth impression. Yep. Okay, that's not the first impression. So people make their decision by their website, how they get a hold of you, and that has changed drastically with AI. People aren't going out and typing in certain websites. Now they're asking AI to do it for them. Mm-hmm. So if your website is 6 years old, it's not being relevant, okay?
Yep.
So, and if you're not on the first page, you're not relevant, okay? So, and then the second thing, millennials especially, who now make up the majority of the RV owners, are millennials like yourself, okay? And they're real big into honesty. So if you've got a 40-year-old destination and you took pictures back when the grass was green and the flowers were blooming and it's all beautiful, that was 10 years ago, okay? Yep. And if that's what's on your website, and when people pull in that front gate and they don't see
their expectation is what it looked like 10 years ago.
And if you miss that expectation right off the bat, you're designated a liar right up front, okay? And they're going to continue to look for reasons why they can support their negative first impression. So you've got to start right off the bat. Now, I'm an expert witness in several trials throughout the years, and in most of the time it's because someone built the wrong destination type that doesn't fit that property, okay? Mm. Doesn't mean they're not profitable. It means they're not as profitable as they were supposed to be,
yep,
because they're trying to squeeze a round peg into a square hole.
Yep.
So if you don't understand the destination types from the last segment, go read my website at eob-consulting.com. Read the step-by-step. It won't cost you nothing. It'll review the five different destination types. But not only does this place need to be the correct type and fit your property, mm-hmm, it needs to function correctly,
yes,
okay? So America is suffering from a low-income housing shortage. Nobody argues that, all right? But the RV industry is fulfilling, satisfying an alternative lifestyle.
Yes.
People are buying RVs instead of brick-and-mortar homes. And so they're staying in them longer term. And that's where the communities are becoming the fastest growing RV destination type. Once you understand that there are five different RV destination types, you need to say, well, which one do I want to build? Communities are less cost to construct because you have fewer amenities than a resort. But people stay longer, and there is a higher demand for communities right now than there are anything else. So that's something that investors look at, and I forget the question.
Yeah, because, you know, when looking at the design and kind of what the, I mean, no, you answered the question really, really well, because one thing in my mind, especially as an investor, is what does my return look like and how stable and consistent can that return be? How safe is that investment, right? And when you look at the community side of things, it makes sense. Because yes, you might not charge the same rate as you would for a resort, given the amenity difference, but you've got long-term revenue stability.
Exactly.
Creating this gap of risk when it comes to, okay, this is a safer investment to make.
Exactly.
Because we can guarantee that people are going to want to stay longer
long-term
and be a part of this, right?
Exactly.
And to them, this becomes home for people.
Yeah. A lot of people, even if it's just their 6 months, we have people cry when they leave in the spring and they want to return. They've already booked their reservation for the fall. They know they've already picked their site because they want to be next to this person because they play cards together in the event center. But I want to speak to the design also. We could do a whole nother episode on design.
It's funny because as we go to design, what I'm curious about, and this has been kind of sitting in my head, is what design mistakes create the most expensive problems later?
Please. Okay, so you're dealing with a whole different clientele than you were dealing with 5 years ago, but especially 10, 15 years ago. 10 or 15 years ago, a lot of people grew up on farms, and they were driving pickup trucks, and they were pulling trailers, and they were backing up horse trailers and stuff like that. The millennials of today, they don't drive pickup trucks. They don't back anything. You can't believe how many people pull into Homestead. We meet them at the entrance, and we escort them to their site, and we get there, and they shut their truck off in the middle of the road, and they throw the keys at me, and they say, if you want that in there, you back it in there.
Yep. Okay?
So the 77% of all RV destinations are older than 20 years of age. They were built with one lane narrow roads. Yep. They were built with arrowhead design where you can back into this side, but you can't back into that side because it's a blind site. EOB Consulting refuses to design a blind site. They're nothing but problems. You're going to hit the pedestal. Pedestals are $1,200. You roll over my pedestal, somebody's going to get upset, okay?
Yes.
So you've got to design it for today's driver. They're probably driving an undersized pickup, pulling an oversized load, and they don't know how to back, okay? So you're going to have to help them. And part of that helping them is to design it correctly so that you have bigger roads, wider turns, easier access, sites to get into. I don't feel like I stand taller when I stand on the shoulders of somebody else, but I do still have some peers who are designing with Crayolas, I guess. We do everything with CAD, computer-aided design, so that we can virtually drive every road, make sure it's transversible, and make certain that every site is accessible. I see design. I get designs from clients who say, I hired this guy to do this, what do you think? And they end up firing that guy and hiring me because they have sites that you literally cannot get to. It's at the end of a dead-end road. You can't get in there, all right? Or they have sites that are on the wrong angles, or they have blind sites.
Yep.
So you're creating frustration. This person has been driving for 6 hours. They've been yelling at the kids in the back. The dog's licking their ear. They're hungry. They got to go to the bathroom. They're tired. Who knows what the spouse is doing? Okay, I didn't even say anything bad about that. Okay,
you gotta be careful there.
but when they pull in, the last thing they want to do is wrestle with getting this thing in the site for the next 15 minutes.
Yep.
Okay, if you can escort them to their site and get them in that site in less than 30 seconds, you have made a huge impact, okay?
It's more likely they're going to want to come back. Because if there's one thing I've learned, especially with the generation, my generation, generations after me, if it's inconvenient or scary or something that raises some anxiety, they don't want to be a part of it. They don't want to go back. They don't want to do it. So like with those blind spots, that's a problem.
And for your investors, they'll pay more money if it's easy, okay?
Yes.
I have people, my pull-through sites are more expensive than my back-end sites. I have people who say, I don't care. I want a pull-through site so I don't have to back up. You're going to be here for a month. You're only going to pull in one time. Disconnect, and you're going to drive your truck, and your trailer is never going to have to back again. I don't care. I'll pay the extra money for the entire month as long as I don't have to back in that one time.
Yep.
I will take your cash.
I mean, that's just the reality of it. And it's just like that within any kind of business entity, whatever it may be. You're looking at the normal things people want to avoid and dislike. That's all convenience related, and that's what that is. It might cost more up front to establish it that way, but you're going to have people that want to avoid backing in. Plain
exactly.
It's just like, if you've ever gone to a boat ramp and just watched, I'm not going to lie to you. I can make an entire day of going to a boat ramp.
Take a coup or a beer
sit there. And just enjoy and watch the anxiety people have.
Oh, and
their
divorces.
Inability. Oh, my goodness. Wives yelling at husbands, kids freaking out, people almost losing their truck in the marina.
And this is fun, okay? We went to the beach.
Yes. Now, think of doing that with an average of $107,000 RV or get up there to something
47
bigger.
Foot long.
Yes, exactly. Now, I've got my fair share experience backing up 40-foot trailers, things like that. At first, that was terrifying. So looking at it from that lens, I like the way you approach this because it is reasonable and it is organic in the sense of you know what people are actually looking for. Now, coming up in the final segment, I'm looking ahead at, well, where outdoor hospitality is going and what owners and investors need to understand if they want to stay ahead of the market as it rapidly changes. Don't go anywhere. Grab coffee. You stretch out. Whatever it is you've got to do, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Biz Talk. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can catch the podcast version right at www.nowmedia.tv. And as we come into the final segment of Biz Talk with Ed Bridgman, we've covered asset strategy, operating discipline, and destination design. Now I want to close by looking forward and what is the future of outdoor hospitality as it has evolved from a niche real estate play into a broader investment and development conversation, especially as owners and investors look at RV communities, storage facilities, and experiential destinations as scalable business models. So the broader market conversation matches Ed Bridgman's public work as well as, this whole concept here, right? And I want to thank you by being on the show and sharing the knowledge and expertise that you have today. This has been fun, to say the least. I'm enjoying this. I've talked to a lot of consultants and attorneys, a lot of different people, and I can say you have a fun time doing this, and I enjoy it. It makes this a lot more fun for me, too. Now, as we dive into this, I want to be quite particular in what the future of this looks like. You've mentioned how you've differentiated your destination from the rest of the market. I want to understand first and foremost, how can other investors and other property owners and these other people that are involved in the, hospitality, the outdoor hospitality world, what are some things they can do to be more relevant and stay ahead of the curve as things change, just as you have? What are some of those key components to really staying in tune with the times?
There's a fine line between being innovative and out there and being crazy, okay? So you got to walk a fine line. 6 years ago, when I was conceptualizing Homestead RV Community as the most technologically advanced RV destination in the world, Joe Biden was in office and he was saying that we were all going to be driving electric vehicles by 2030. I went into the market and I said, you've got to be charging for electricity. Everybody has to be charging for electricity, not just your monthly stays, but your overnight stays also. Nobody believed me. Everybody said I was crazy. I finally got one reservation software company to allow me to work with them, and Homestead RV Community. I had to develop Homestead RV Community to prove my relevance. Okay, so I went and bought the property, went and developed the property, and we created Homestead RV Community, the most technologically advanced RV destination in the world. 5 years ago, we opened. And you might ask, well, you're not the most technologically advanced anymore. Yes, I am. Okay, because I have upgraded our systems and I am constantly upgrading our systems. Last month, we brought in a dedicated fiber optic line and put fiber optic throughout the entire community.
Game changer.
Okay. 1 gigabyte speeds. Okay. We are next month, we are redoing all of our camera systems. Mm. We have 56 cameras. I'm updating all of them. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them. Okay. If I was strictly Homestead RV Community, which is a profit center, which does make money, but I'm also a showroom where people can come and see the latest, greatest technologies. Yep. And then I'm a showroom and I'm also a beta test place. So I beta test water meters. Water is cheap in Alabama, but I service the entire United States, Canada, New Mexico, and Puerto Rico. So there are 11 states in the United States that water is extremely expensive, and they have to monitor it. So I need to be able to do that, okay? It has become a new fad to be able to sell individual sites. So guess what? I hired an attorney, I had my place platted, and I sold an individual sites. I bought them all back, but I figured out how to do that, okay? Because you need to design differently if you're planning to sell individual sites.
Yep.
Who knew that, okay? Until you actually do it, you don't understand that, all right? So Homestead RV Community is constantly updating, constantly reinventing itself, and I've only been open 5 years. If you've been open longer than that and you're still doing what you were doing before, you better ask yourself some serious questions, because everybody knows that doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is the sign of insanity.
Yep.
That's an algorithm. Look at it this way. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same results, but applying it to a different customer, that's also the definition of insanity.
Yep.
Your customer has changed in the last 5 years drastically, okay? If you're still doing the same thing you did 5 years ago, you need to call EOB Consulting and let me come out and help you update your systems.
And coming from the lens and perspective of an investor and someone who wants to be a part of this, wants to launch one of this, wants to go that direction, you know, I'm a little bit curious, how has that really impacted revenue and the experience for the customer and really having those spots always filled? Being that technologically advanced and always trying to stay ahead of the curve and really focusing on this, putting intentional time to it, how does that impact the bottom line? Because a lot of people see investment, overhead cost, and oh, new complexities, maybe more employees. You mentioned you don't really have a whole lot of hands-on employees.
One employee.
Exactly.
That's all I've got.
So how does that impact the potential profitability and revenue stream of Homestead? Like, how does that work for others? How would that really apply?
So Homestead RV Community is a profit stream, and we could make more profit if we weren't constantly reinventing and updating, and we do it more than necessary.
Yeah, we're also trying to show.
Because this is also my marketing
tool
for EOB, and I need, when my clients call me and say, which pedestal should we purchase, I can tell them I tested this pedestal, I tested that pedestal, and I beta tested for the company this pedestal, because they asked me, here's one we want you to try out for us and give us feedback. So I was part of that reservation software update that's getting ready to come out, by the way. And some other things, I can tell them, hold off. We've got a new one coming out here next month and it's gonna be awesome. I can't talk about it right now, but I'm on the cutting edge to be able to do that. So. But from an investor standpoint, go look at my Google reviews. Got over 470 Google reviews. I've been open 5 years this month, okay? 4.8 Google review rating. People love us. People are coming back. We're already booked for next winter, okay? Our busy time is in the winter. Our slower time is in the summer in Mobile, Alabama. I opened up in March of 2021. I hit 100% occupancy in December of 2021.
That's impressive, but it's also a testament to the way that you're handling this. The objective of being, you want to be the most advanced, you want it. It's also, like you said, the showroom for EOB, which is vitally important. That is a major marketing strategy, and how can you really present yourself as an authority in this industry if you're not doing it yourself and seeing what's working, right? But, you know, with that in mind, I'm curious, you know, how are guest expectations changing across RV, glamping, marina, and storage experiences? Because you mentioned, you know, if you stay the same, but your customer's changing, what does that look? You know, that's insanity. But, you know, what is changing in their expectations?
So as the RV owner is getting younger, more diverse, has younger children, probably has a pet, they are demanding high-speed internet in 2026. Now that's an interesting statement right there. I spent all this money to bring in fiber optics and have 1 gigabyte speeds. We're blazing fast.
Oh yeah.
Fantastic, blazing fast. And I go around and I interview my guests and I say, hey, what do you think of that high-speed internet? And you believe 15% of them go, what internet? And I'm like, what? You're a millennial. You work for a living. I know for a fact that the 2026 guest is dependent upon high-speed internet. If we go to the next slide, we'll see that the 2035 guest may not be dependent upon internet, okay? Because if they are, they paid $35 a month and they went to Verizon or T-Mobile and they got this little box that they put up in their window and they are independently talking to a satellite and they don't need my internet. And so I say, yeah, but it can't be faster than fiber optics. Fiber optics is blazing, okay? And they go, yeah, but I've already got my passwords decoded into this little box. I'm not gonna redo my computer and redo my phone every time I go to a new spot. I'm gonna use this little box. So what I'm learning is that it's important today to have high-speed internet. But 5 years from now, I'm not so certain. If I was developing today, right now, and I wasn't going to be open for 3 years, I wouldn't make that investment into bringing in a trunk line that's a fiber optic trunk line and going fiber optic to every pedestal. Nobody else is going to tell you that, but right here on Biz Talk today, no other consultant is going to tell you that.
Well, with that being said, where can our audience find you? Because this is a lot of vital information, and I can imagine this strikes a lot of questions for our audience, especially those that are now really interested in exploring this. Where can they find you? How can they get a hold of you? How can they work with you directly? What does that look like? Where can you be found?
You can go to my website for Homestead RV Community at homerVC.com, but my consulting website is eob-consulting.com, or you can call me at 512-785-1379. And it might surprise you, I answer my phone. And I answer my phone usually on the first or second ring. Okay, I don't let it go to voicemail. If you hire me, you will be talking to me. I will dedicate 30 minutes to an hour to look at your specific property. If we decide that's not the property for you and you find another one a week later, I'll do it again and again until we find the property that maximizes what you want to do. So I'm easy to get a hold of at 512-785-1379.
Now, I've got to thank you for joining me today. This has been an incredible experience, great conversations, had a lot of fun doing this. And, you know, some of the things I can take away from this conversation is that outdoor hospitality is no longer just about owning land or building a destination people can visit. It is about designing a business that can perform, right? And it's about reducing waste, improving quality, understanding the customer, and creating an asset that works operationally as well as financially. You know, anything from Lean Six Sigma to, you know, the destination to the different types and what that looks like for an investor. I'd say this has been an incredible conversation. And thank you for joining us today on BizTalk. Again, I'm Ryan Herpin. It has been an incredible experience here, and we will see you next time.